pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for those books of the Bible that we've just read from. Please open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have to say to us this morning. Amen. So for those of you who are about my age, losing David Bowie about 10 days ago was a significant moment. He was quite special to my cohort at university. I went to see him, I remember, at Wembley in 1976. He must have been special because I swapped Elton John tickets to go and see him. Some great things have been said about him. For example, Madonna, who wasn't quite so influential on me, said Bowie had changed the course of her life. And for many women about my age, or about my wife's age at least, losing Alan Rickman was a serious moment, significant moment last week. Love Actually is a staple diet for us every Christmas. And some great things have been said about him as well. Juliet Stevenson said, Rickman was more than an actor. He was an inspiration. Often when famous people die, great things are said about them, aren't they? But these all pale into insignificance when we hear what is said about Jesus before he was born, while he was living, and after he died. There appears to be something very special about this Jesus that we read about in the Bible. In our reading, John the Baptist was approached. People were wondering who he was. He was doing some amazing things on the banks of the Jordan. And John steps into the debate and says, well, I'm not going to tell you who I am. I'm going to tell you who I'm not. I'm going to tell you who I'm preparing for. One will come who is more powerful than I, he says, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. This sort of thing you wouldn't really hear about a famous person anymore, would you? It seems a bit too deferential, a bit too North Korean in its praise of the leader. But then, John the Baptist says, Jesus will baptize you and me with the Holy Spirit and with fire. This same Holy Spirit that was around when God created the universe and would later be around at the birth of the church in Jerusalem, when this whole Christian movement exploded into life. Jesus will baptize us with this Holy Spirit, this creative force, this energy, this comforter, this courage giver. If he is going to do that, there is something very special about this Jesus. And then John the Baptist actually baptized Jesus. And as Jesus was praying after his baptism, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in bodily form, like a dove, we're told. A voice came from heaven, clearly God's voice. You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Wow. Did that happen at your baptism? I don't think it happened at mine. All I remember was that I was told I cried all the way through it. And I was 19 at the time. Oh, no, that's not. But with my children, this is a familiar storyline. Whenever I see them, I keep getting ribbed for this, but whenever I see them, I say, I'm proud of you. And I am proud of them, prouder than anyone will ever know. But when Jesus was baptized, it's God who was the proud parent. It's God who says, I'm proud of you. There is something very special about this Jesus. And then we come to the reading which from Colossians, where St. Paul says that Jesus was the firstborn over all creation, the first person ever, the living there before everything else was created. He was the first. You and me are here because of Jesus' creativity. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the great integrator. As Francis pointed out, he is the head of the body, his church. And what's more, through him everything will be reconciled to God. By making peace through his blood shed on the cross, he substituted his perfection for our imperfection. He is the solution, therefore, to the gulf that we create every day between us and God. The gulf we feel every day in our hearts and in our souls until we allow Jesus to bridge it. There is something very special about this Jesus. Paul says Jesus is the image of God. The image of God, the invisible one. I'm not sure what images you've seen lately, but one image which I've had on my PC over the last couple of weeks is a passport photo of Debbie's mum, my mother-in-law. And the reason for that is that I'm applying for a blue badge for her, and you need this photograph, and it looks really scary. Have you seen your passport photographs? Now you're not allowed to smile. It's absolutely dreadful, isn't it? It doesn't represent her character, her grace and her smiliness and her love. Well, Paul says Jesus is the image of God, the God that nobody has ever seen, but Jesus is his image. If somebody's sitting in the room next door, we can't see them because there's a wall between us. But maybe there's a mirror in the hallway, and we can see out of our door onto the mirror into the room next door and see the person next door. In the same way, Jesus is the mirror image of God, who is there, but who we normally can't see. We may be aware of God's presence, but with Jesus, we find ourselves looking at the true God himself. The more we look at Jesus, the more we realize the true God is the God of utter self-giving love. And when we take time to grasp that fact, we will fall on our knees, surely, in gratitude. There is something very special about this Jesus. Jesus is the blueprint for what it is to be genuinely human. The blueprint for what is on offer through the gospel. He is the head of the body. And as we've just seen, the church can't function without Jesus as the head. He was the first to rise again from the dead. And he's the one through whose cruel death God has dealt with our sin, has brought us peace and reconciliation. Jesus is the one in whom you and I are called to discover what it is to be truly human, what that means in practice. We often settle for second best, don't we? But Jesus invites us to experience the genuine article. There is something very special about this Jesus. It's true, I often settle for second best in my life, I'm sure. But Jesus invites me to experience the genuine article. And the same is true for you as well. Jesus cleans us up so that God can say to us, to you and to me, this is my daughter, this is my son, with whom I am well pleased. I'm proud of you, he'll say. Because of Jesus, we're adopted into his family. God becomes our father. There is something very special about this Jesus. In Jesus, we see God's most creative act, rescuing all humanity, accomplished only when he emptied himself and took on the limitations of being a human being. For the act that brought salvation to the world, God chose what for him must have seemed the smallest of canvases, the most common of materials, the human frame, flesh, blood, heart, and soul. To save humanity, God needed to become a man. To conquer death, he would need to be crucified. To bring us back to life, he would need to be resurrected. To heal our wounds, he would need to be wounded himself. To free us from ourselves, he would need to become our prisoner. There is something very special about this Jesus. Jesus' life was a masterpiece, a subtle, elegant, and brilliant work of art. His life was painted with vivid light and color. And that light and color were profoundly contrasted with the harsh, dark background of hate, betrayal, and suffering that he received. And in the midst of it all, he never failed to emanate grace and truth. Through his sacrifice, he turned the cross, that barbaric instrument of death, into a symbol of beauty and peace and hope. There is something very special about this Jesus. With Jesus, your life and my life can be transformed. Guilt can be moved to forgiveness. Bitterness can be replaced by emotional healing. We can reach our potential. We can be inspired. Gifts can be discovered that we might never think possible. Some of you might have heard my story. When I was 18, I became a Christian in Coventry. And before that point, I was a pretty sorry state of affairs, really. Quite bitter. Quite lonely. Feeling quite guilty all the time. No confidence. And as I became a Christian, Jesus began to change me, began to give me hope, began to inspire me. And the same is true now. Every week that goes by, there's a new journey, a new challenge, a new thing that I have to do, which I've never done before, where I take a deep breath and think, how do I do this? I'm a work in progress, like everybody else in this room. But I owe everything to this Jesus. There is something very special about this Jesus. God is inviting you and me on a journey, and I would like to provoke you to begin to walk it if you've never walked it before, or to walk it more stridently if you are already walking it. It's not an easy journey. It's a journey that demands much of us. In fact, it demands all of us. All our passion, all our courage, all our talent, all our discipline, all our life. The Christian life is one in which we risk all for love. We're to love without reservation. We give our hearts completely and we leave nothing on the table. Christians are called to be authentic because we have given all of ourselves. We live without regret, but not without struggle. This path is not an escape, I'm afraid, from life's wounds and disappointments. But it's an opportunity to live from our souls, to pursue our greatest passions and expose ourselves to the greatest pain. It's a bit like a piano. If you're only used to playing the notes in the middle of the piano, you never hear the wonderful highs and the grumbling lows on either side of you. Christians are called to live a much broader life, a much deeper life. We can't live a life of passion without sorrow. To live a life of love is to know betrayal and loss occasionally. But character emerges from that struggle and is born out of the pain of labor. So let me be clear. What I'm inviting you and me to here at St. Mary's is not the path of least resistance. It's a high risk, high reward thing. It's not for the faint of heart or for those who long for safety and security, although God will give us those when we really need it. The way of the Christian is about embracing our God-given gifts and responsibility, taking responsibility to live the life that God's Holy Spirit inspires us to imagine and live out. It's an adventure. We are all called into it by Jesus. There is something very special about this Jesus. And we start by surrendering to God. So I'd like to invite you, if you want to surrender with me this morning to God, to allow him to clean you up as I pray. There's no pressure, but if this is the first time for you, then please do take the opportunity. And if you want to walk more deeply and more broadly with God, then also take that opportunity as well. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the depth and breadth of his love for us. We acknowledge that we have been far from you. We've disappointed you. We've walked away from you. Father, please forgive us and help us to return to you this morning, knowing that you are waiting, running to greet us. We thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. And we want to embrace you this morning, to surrender everything back to you. We want to make 2016 the year when we live our life in tune with you, walking every day with Jesus. Please help us to hold your hand, to trust you, but to be ready to take the leaps of faith that you inspire us to take as we lead our lives more fully. Please take us, Father, and use us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to stand now for sung worship to respond to what we've heard from Chris this morning.